We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055. +233 26 767 6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.
And thank you for joining this week's podcast with the Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams. In this prophetic message, the Archbishop declares war on the invisible barriers that have held people back for generations. This message will assist you to break mental barriers, spiritual limitations, rediscover your God-given purpose, and activate faith through powerful declarations. Know today that this is your word of revelation. Be empowered as you listen.
As I reflect and as I meditate, over the years, as I encounter people, home and abroad, domestic and external, I encounter people in the ministry, in church, at the marketplace, the private sector, and people in governance, on the political scene, on the religious scene. There is something that I have seen over the years and the decades, and that is this. So many people live and die and never fulfill their God's given mandate and assignment. So many people go to their grave with great possibilities and potential and greatness. And I've come to the realization and awareness that he has so much to do with the way we are wired, upbringing, background, where we've come from. And it has nothing to do with the color of our skin. It has everything to do with ignorance. It has everything to do with the lack of light. It has everything to do with the lack of illumination. So people walk this earth and never fulfill their purpose and why they came. Some operate just 10%, 15%, 20% of their God's given capabilities or potential. And yet they think they are great. They think they are doing well and they are wonderful. But they don't know that they are operating just 10, 15, maximum 20 or 30% of their God's given potential and capabilities. And a potential simply means what you are made to be or what you are capable of becoming that you haven't yet become. And so many live and die and never fulfill those dreams and greatness that was embedded in them before they came to this world. Today, I have a responsibility to make a proclamation of war in the name that is above every other name, before the elements of creation, before heaven and earth and the underworld kingdom. Let the limits placed on us break. Come on, put your hands together and say, let the limits break. Come with me, if you please, to the book of Isaiah 46, the 9th and the 10th verse.
Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure.
This is the God you and I serve, ladies and gentlemen. He's the God of purpose. He's the God of objectivity and the God of design. He said, I hold all things in my hands. I came from eternity to reveal myself to what I call time. Created all things at my pleasure because I'm God all by myself. I don't seek the counsel of man. Man and creation are all my subjects. And I know the end from the beginning. I am not limited and restricted to advanced knowledge and to the future. I know all things. Man is restricted, but I am not. And he said, I know the outcome of the future. And I declare what the future will be before I begin creation. So I go into the future and I determine the outcome of individuals, families, and nations. Then I come back to create the beginning, to line up with the outcome. He said in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans or thoughts I have of you. They are of good and not of evil. And God said, if there's anything evil against you, it's not from me. It's not from me. For the plans I have of you are good. May I submit to each one under the sound of my voice, home or abroad, in this auditorium or online, that God has not planned any evil for you but good. Turn to somebody and say, God has not planned any evil for you. No evil. From God's perspective, it's a good plan and not an evil plan. He said, I declare the end from the beginning. And he said, I know the thoughts I have of good and not of evil to give you an expected end. So your end is already determined. And God knows what your end will be like because it's already determined. It is already done. And anything contrary to God's expected end for your life, let it be interrupted in the name of Jesus. Let it be overturned in the name of Jesus. If you believe it, put your hands together. Say yes. Proverbs 23 and the 7th verse.
For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Mm-hmm. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee.
So it's important to understand again, like I said, that one of the reasons and causes of limitations in all of our lives has a lot to do with our background, the way we are wired, upbringing, not color of your skin, or not even geographical locations. Because nations like Israel, like Dubai, and other places that were desert, has turned deserts into a 21st century cities where people fly in from all over the world to find comfort, to do business, and to relax, and to celebrate life. Yeah. So it has nothing to do with location, as much as location matters. It has nothing to also do with the color of our skin because, ladies and gentlemen, if you look at the 50s and the 60s, Ghana was ahead of China. The 50s and the 60s, steady history. Ghana was ahead of China. Ghana was ahead of Singapore. We had independence 1957. Singapore had independence 1960. We were ahead of them. We were ahead of Malaysia. We all had independence the same year, 57, Malaysia. I've been to Malaysia, I've been to Kuala Lumpur several times. It's amazing the development, the progress they've made and they still make. Malaysia, we were ahead of Malaysia. We were ahead of South Korea, Ghana. We were ahead of Finland. What went wrong? Why has the gold turned dark? Why have we retrogressed? Simple things. Lack of selfless leaders. Lack of visionary leaders. China came on the scene with 100 years vision, and they are getting close to it. And they refuse to be distracted by anything. They will not engage in anything. They are focused on 100 years vision. China. India has 100 years vision. Dubai, 30 years ago, was literally nothing. They came up with 100 years vision, and they are working towards it. South Korea, they have a national vision. Finland, what is the national vision of Ghana? We don't even have a 2 years vision. And all we do is all political parties come up with their manifesto to tell us what they will do when they come into office. And when they come, for whatever reason, they get distracted by power. They get distracted by the national cake. And everyone begins to focus on themselves and their personal family and security, and they forget about country. President Kufuor said the problem in Ghana and Africa is not corruption, but it's the lack of love for country. Because you don't exploit what you love. If you love something, you don't take advantage of it. You protect it. Oh, that God may give Ghana, our motherland, leaders who love and truly care about country. Selfless leaders. Leaders with a vision. For without a vision, the people perish. Until we have a national vision, it does not matter the manifesto of any political party. May I say this on authority and let it go down on record, that until we have a national vision as a nation and a people, written in our constitution, that all parties and all stakeholders are compelled to follow nothing but that national vision. That whoever comes to office is compelled by constitution to execute nothing but that national vision. And everyone has no manifesto or vision except the national vision for the next 25 or 50 years. Until we have a national vision, may I announce to you that all the school fees you are paying, sending your children to the best of school and everything, is all sinking sand. They will come back to this nation and get nothing done because the system undermines. It undermines creativity, and that vicious cycle of every political party coming every 4 to 8 years to destroy what party A or B did, for them to also come up with a new manifesto. We are in a vicious cycle. Why have the gold become dim? Why is China, Finland, why even South Africa? But you can say because they have the whites there, but it's not a matter of the Caucasian. It's a vision issue. Because when the Bible said, without vision, the people perish. That word perish, if you look at it in the original translation, it means that without vision, people live carelessly and they walk aimlessly. That means they have no guide. There is nothing guiding them. When a plane takes off from Ghana, it's guided to Daluka Salamadus. Elei to Kasind. Kifantu sulund ilamahadu kawahasalan ileitu kum makasalin kefalada kusi. What guides this nation? What guides our leaders? What guides us as a people and a church? Where do we go from here? Mokusaland melikutum kusalaha yeitu kalahasa. Ask our children, what is the national vision of Ghana? They don't know it. And ask yourself, what is the vision of this country? We don't have one. Today, I submit to you, it's time for the limits to break. Put your hands together. If you agree with me, stand on your feet, clap your hands, and sit down. Just stand on your feet, clap your hands, shout, break the limits, and sit down. Sit down. As a man thinketh, So is he. You are what you think. You've been programmed to think in a particular way. You've been wired to see things and to think of things in a particular way. And until your mindset is deprogrammed and reprogrammed, you are not going anywhere. I have an aquarium in my office. The fish in the aquarium was not designed to be in an aquarium. It was designed to swim in the ocean. And I tell people all the time, I said, as long as it stays in this aquarium, this is how far it can go. That is the boundary lines of this fish. They ain't going nowhere. But take the same fish, throw them in the ocean, and they will swim to Alaska. What has restricted you? What limits you? What makes you think and see the things the way you do? It has everything to do with your mindset, the way you are wired. And I see so many people who are so happy and excited about where they are and what they have. And they think that is it. They have arrived. And all they do is to start thinking about their security and their future. And they forget about the impact and the difference they can make in their generation. They forget that history will one day judge you. And when history is judging you, it will not talk about what you did for your wife, your husband, or your kids. It will talk about the difference you made in the life of others. There are people with great potentials to change the course of history, to make a difference in their day, but so many will go to their graves with potentials and with greatness because they were self-centered. They were wired and programmed to think about self, and the way they were programmed to think and to see things will never allow them to be selfless, but a selfish group of human beings. They marry and they are a selfish husband, a selfish wife, give birth to self children, children that are selfish, husbands selfish, wives selfish, everybody selfish, a selfish society and citizen. Nothing is done with those kind of people. But give me a selfless man and a selfless woman. Oh, that God, in our day and in our lifetime, will raise out selfless leaders, visionary fathers and visionary and selfless fathers and mothers, determined to make a difference. Please come with me to Numbers chapter 13, Bishop, and verse 33.
And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight.
They had a vision of themselves. What kind of vision do you have about you? Who are you? Where are you going from here? Why were you born? Why are you on this earth? Why are your children born? Is this just to be educated? Go to the best of school. Get a good job. Well paid. Live in the best of the community in the country. In a gated community. Today, it's about where you live. It's about the car you drive. When young men and women find the first million, the first thing they want to do is to drive the latest car, the best of car. You are sick. You are really sick. Because money without purpose is disaster. Power without direction is disaster. And that is what is killing our society. We have so many people without a sense of direction, clarity and purpose, giving access to power and to money. And it destroys them. It gets into their head. They begin to misbehave. They violate all the principles and the landmarks of old. Tulakusala. Silitukusan Kayahalund Kifadang Kiwang Salund. Oh, that thou mayest come down and step into the equation of the people of this country, that the rocks and the hills and the mountains may tremble before you and skip as rams, O thou that answers prayer, and turn on our light that we may see within the darkness. Itula kusala kasa. He said, we were in our own eyes as grasshoppers. We saw ourselves as slaves that have come out of Egypt and have been grasshoppers, nothing, irrelevant, reduced to nothing for 430 years. And even though we've been set free and given an opportunity to restart, to do things different, as free men and women, we were still bound, limited, restricted, creativity and productivity reduced to inactivity. We saw nothing good about ourselves, but all we saw about ourselves was grasshoppers. And because we saw and had a grasshopper mentality and vision about ourselves, we acted as one. We acted as grasshoppers. We fought over crumbs, when we can sit at the master's dining table and eat with kings, princes, and princesses. We were fighting for the crumbs, and we acted as such. And because we had a grasshopper mentality, our enemies saw us as grasshoppers, treated us as grasshoppers. Ladies and gentlemen, is there the possibility that the way people treat you has everything to do with the vision you have about yourself? That possibility is there. People don't respect me and they don't like me. Do you respect yourself? Do you like yourself? And people don't love me. Do you love you? Oh, Mesulu Kumasala Sata Kafant Wahanda Kunsulin Lekutun Kasalahada. Will you please examine yourself and check you and your motive and your heart and your attitude before you point finger at others who don't treat you well? Do you treat yourself well? People don't do right by me. Do you do right by yourself? We were in our own eyes. We acted as grasshoppers. That was the vision we had of ourselves. What kind of vision do you have of you? You see yourself as a champion, as a game changer, as a curse breaker, as a wonder, as a sign, as a miracle, and as someone born to make a difference. Or you see yourself as one that is a grasshopper, a cockroach, small something hiding somewhere. I don't want to be seen. I don't want to be engaged. And I don't want anybody knowing my business. Let me sit in my little corner. And yet you are loaded, pregnant with such potential to make a difference in your generation. And you might end up living, can't be here for so long and die. And the world will never know that you ever came because you were selfish. You were self-centered. It was all about you and you and your reputation and your feelings and your emotions and your name and your image. It was never about God. It was never about others. And people who live that way and always think about them and not others, they never contribute anything to the cause of humanity. They are born, they get educated, get a good job, they live and they die, and the world never know that they ever came. But there are others who are selfless, that even in the midst of being persecuted, misrepresented, and betrayed, and lied upon, and slandered, still they have an attitude of, you can't stop me. An attitude of, I am unkillable and I am undiable. An attitude of, I was born to make a difference. I was born to be a winner. I am a survivor. And I will survive anything you throw at me. I will still be standing here. When you are lying in your grave and your funeral is done, I will still be here, still preaching, still declaring the word of God, still doing good to humanity. Come on, put your hands together, stand on your feet, shout, scream, say something, and sit down. Sit down for 2 minutes. In Marcus Aliyah, break the limits. They said we were in our own eyes as grasshoppers. That is the way we saw ourselves. Where did that mentality of a grasshopper came from? Bondage, background, Egypt, 430 years. I don't know what exists in your background. I don't know what becomes of the men of your background and of the women of your background. I don't know what your father, your grandfather, mother, grandmother, aunties, uncles, cousins, of your bloodline and of your family has ever done to the cause of humanity. And if nobody has made any contribution, then you are the first in that bloodline family, called and chosen by God to make a difference. To make a difference to the cause of humanity. You must not die without this world knowing that you are here and you came. Are you hearing me, somebody? Put your hands up and say yes. I live on my own terms when my time is up and the curtains are brought down and my mission is accomplished in style. I will live on my own terms. In no man and in no woman or kingdom, principality or power that can take me before my day, I proclaim before heaven and earth and let it go on record into the elements of creation that in nobody take me before my time. Atulang kasan, you will be slain, you will go before me and I'll still be standing. Atulaka salim, put your hands together and say yes, yes, yes Lord. Tell somebody, don't even try it. Don't even think it. Don't imagine it. Don't try it. It will backfire.
Yes, sir.
Are you clapping, somebody? Are you clapping? Come with me to Judges chapter 6 and the 14th verse. Judges 6:14.
And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent you?
This was a man so scared and afraid of a mighty army and a nation by the name of the Midianites. His name was Gideon. So afraid. They've been so terrified and intimidated that he was hiding. There are so many of you, you are hiding in this world, hiding in this life. You have resources. You have access to power. You have influence. And you never use it for good. You are afraid. You are scared that if you stand up for what is right and true, you will lose your access and your influence. You will lose resources. You will lose something. So you guide and protect it. And you see innocent people falling and being slain by the sword. And yet you will do nothing because you are afraid. Akutula kasaland. Ayantu kan kifang wahasilin ikutun da kasalaha. I'd rather lose something in defense of the cause of humanity than in the defense of innocent people. There are so many people in prison who are not supposed to be there, but they are there. Because that is what the system does. The injustices of men, the selfishness and the greed of men has put so many innocent people in prison. Peter had the name Peter, called to be a rock, yet he was in prison. Today I declare on authority, let every innocent person in prison be acquitted and discharged. Let anyone in prison who is not supposed to be there be released. Put your hands together and say, release, 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 release. In the name of Jesus, release. Let anyone facing the law, and facing judgment, who has been framed. You see, this world, they can frame you up. Oh, yeah. Joseph was so framed up and implicated that there was no way he could defend himself, so he said nothing. Sometimes you can be in a situation where it doesn't matter what you say, nobody believes you. And the more you explain, you are losing. And the more you try to explain, you are more implicated and guilty. Yeah. Joseph was in that situation. A very powerful woman by the name of Potiphar's wife wanted him. And Joseph said no. And she said, listen, if you sleep with me, my husband is a 5-star general. I can get you anything you want. And I can see Joseph saying that, girl, madam, you don't know what you're dealing with. We believe that promotion comes from God. And whatever God has for me, he will work it out himself. I don't need to compromise my purity and my sanctification for favor. And hear me, if you compromise to get anything, you will eventually lose it. And if you lie to get anything, you have to keep lying to maintain it. So Joseph said, no, I'm not going that way. And the woman said, if you don't go that way, I will show you where power lies. And I can see Joseph said, madam, it's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. You can win today, but I will win tomorrow. Today is your day. And let me say this to anyone, every one of you who think you are so connected and you have so much access and you are sitting pretty and you have some very good defense mechanisms and systems working for you. Don't be fooled. Time changes. It's just a matter of time. And you'll be like the others who once upon a time thought the same way. Joseph was in prison. He didn't deserve to be there. Anyone in the hospital, on a theater bed, who does not deserve to be there, but have been framed and set out, let them be discharged in the name of Jesus. Come on, put your hands up. Pray for them. Say, discharge. Say, we release the sick from the bed of affliction. We break the limits. Okay, quickly, stop. Genesis 17 and verse 5.
Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee.
Here was Abraham, coming from an idolatry background. The meaning of Abraham in Hebrew simply means an exalted father. An exalted father. God came on the scene and said, Abraham, what I have for you is bigger than an exalted father. You are born according to my original intent and according to the things that were written of you in the volumes of the books and according to the judicial determination of eternity. You were born to walk this earth as a father of many, not a nation, but many nations. And exalted father is a limitation. So I'm going to change your destiny. I'm going to call forth your original destiny. And it will take 25 years for you to keep hearing till you believe. And the day you believe and say it, you will become father of many nations. But until then, you will walk the wilderness of this world and of this life. You will wander as a lost soul until the day it dawns on you and it comes to you that you were born to be a father of many nations. Not just a nation, but many. So I'm changing your name. And I will call you by your real destiny. Your name is Father of many nations, and that will be your new identity and destiny. No more father exalted, no more exalted father, but father of many nations. Come with me to the book of Romans. Come with me to the book of Romans. Look at the book of Romans, the 4th chapter and the 17th verse.
As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations.
As
it is written.
Can you please talk to me?
As it is written.
You know what it means? It means that it's already been determined. Not is going to be written. As it is written. So every one of you seated here, there is something written about all of us in the volumes of the books. Kudalu kusan kefala kasalun wehasu kuwahataland kelindu kusaland. I pray that the veil will be lifted, that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, and that you will see beyond where you are that there is something powerful written of you. Who thinks you are a worm and you are nothing and you are a grasshopper? There is something so powerful written of you to accomplish, to contribute to the cause of humanity that you have no idea of. And so many will pass and die. And you stand before the king and the throne on that day, and you will see so many people walking in such mega rewards and blessings. And you ask yourself, what did I do wrong? The only thing you did wrong was you were selfish. It was about you. You were always thinking about you. You never thought about others. It was never about anyone but you. And that limited you. Go ahead.
As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations.
Not I will make you. I have already made you. It's a done deal. I declared the end from the beginning. This is something, Abraham, that was done before I called you. I predestined you, or you were predestined to become father. Today, I'm speaking to potential fathers of many nations and mothers of many nations. I'm speaking to potential mega millionaires, oil sheikhs, financial moguls sitting under the sound of my voice. Atulaku sakin takun kapan tu wanda kasalanda ayalama kutung kise. But whether you become that or not has everything to do with you. You are the issue. God is not the problem. The devil is not the problem. You are the problem. You choose to remain as you are. Some people say, as for me, that is the way I am. As for me, this is the way I was born. As for me, me pay me once. This morning, banana, pao. I see me a beer. Oh, I'm going here, pao. This morning, son, leave me here. This is the way I was born. Hear me. Nobody was born to remain the same from the day you were born to the day you died. Life is about transformation. Atula kusa linda kasalan. Hey, metamorphosis. Life is about changing and getting better and better and better. From glory to glory, from faith to faith. Say yes. Say yes. Say yes. Tell somebody, you were not born to remain this way forever. You were not born to remain this way forever.
Before him who he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were.
As though they were. He said, Abraham, I'm going to change your name to father of many nations. And every day you hear your name, father of many nations. Father of many nations. As you keep hearing it, you believe it. And you become what you keep hearing. And you know how many years it took for him to believe it? 25 years. 25 years. He kept hearing every morning when the wife Sarah calls him, father of many nations. Yes, my love. Father of many nations. Yes. Yes. 25 years. Look at it. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Romans 10, 17.
So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by
you
the
see?
Word of God.
So then, faith comes
by hearing.
No.
And hearing.
That's it. Faith does not come by hearing. It comes by hearing and hearing. Somebody say back to back to back to back. Say over and over and over and over again. That is how faith comes. You have to keep hearing over and over, over and over, over and over and over again until you believe. And when you believe, it's not enough to believe, because you can believe and have nothing. Romans 10:10. Romans 10:10. You can believe and have nothing. For with the mouth,
for with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. But with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation.
So you can believe it, and unless you confess it, you speak it, you declare what you believe, you have nothing. And there are so many people in the church, they believe the scriptures. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. Shall abide. Under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. You can believe it. Unless you say it, you don't have it. 2 Corinthians 4:13.
According as it is written, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it's written, I believed and therefore have I spoken.
We also
believe and therefore speak.
You have to say it. Until you say what you believe, it won't work. It only works when you believe by hearing it over and over and over again, and you say it, then it's yours. And that is the problem of folks in the church. They are all believers of the scriptures, but they don't enforce what they believe. Until you enforce what you believe, you don't have it. A good attorney does not win his case by what is written in the book of law. He wins his case by making reference to what is written in the law and enforce it in the court of law. My law, according to article, section, so and so and so, and he quotes. And establish his argument and plead on that law. Then the judge then will have to pay attention to that law and act accordingly. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to stop here. Stand on your feet.
Turn in my favor.
We know you are blessed by that word of God, and look forward to you joining the messages of the Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams again. For more information on our events, books, and messages, please visit NDW Ministries online at www.ndwministries.org or call our offices on +1 877 361 5111. Once again, thank you for joining the Archbishop today, and may you continue to experience the life-transforming power of God's blessings.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055. +233 26 767 6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.